Hey, if we have not met, my name is Hannah Nielsen, and I'm the Associate Youth Pastor here at The River. And it has been an honor and a joy to walk with these eight high schoolers through a process of learning more about discipleship. What does it mean to be a lifelong follower of Jesus? What does it mean to go one step further in our faith journeys? And so for the past 3 or 4 months, we have been meeting as a cohort during the 11 a.m. service every couple of weeks and just walking through key principles of faith. We've been talking about spiritual practices. We've been talking about our identity as a follower of Jesus, of our belonging and of our purpose, and how we can serve the community, serve one another. And it has been so fun to just be able to get to hang out in those mornings together. But another key part of what we do in the discipleship cohort is we match each one of these high schoolers with one of you, with an adult mentor from our community, someone who hopefully is not as integrated into their like circle of influential adults, because there are statistics to show that it takes 5 influential adults of faith in a young person's life to help move them forward in faith, hopefully long-term, hopefully for their lifetime. And so we had the honor of pairing up our students with you guys as mentors. And so if you were a mentor this round of the discipleship cohort, would you please stand so we can recognize you? Oh yeah, give them a round of applause. Look at these mentors. Thank you guys. You guys have a seat. We would also love to be sharing with you a little bit of what it looks like for that mentoring process for a high schooler and their mentor. And so can I please have Emmeline Fong and Shar Ashizawa come on stage, and they're gonna share with you all a little bit about what their process has been like in a little Q&A situation. So welcome, let's give them a round of applause. Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me, even though you're forced to be here. Can you please introduce yourself and answer the question, what is your favorite sweet treat?
What is my what?
Favorite sweet treat.
Okay. Hello, my name is Emlyn Fong. I am a current sophomore at Homestead High School. And my favorite sweet treat would be, if you guys ever get the Costco apple strudel, I really love that.
That's a good one.
Hi, I'm Charlene Ashizawa, and I would say my favorite sweet treat is ice cream.
Solid. This is very integral into the mentoring process because they usually go out for sweet treats, and it's great. So thank you, mentor and mentee, for being here, being a part of this. I would love to ask you, what did mentoring look like for you both? Like, how many times did you meet up? What did you do when you met up? Give us a little snapshot into what it looked like.
We met up like around every 2 weeks, I would say. And then it was really nice. I remember being very nervous to meet Charlene for the first time. Well, actually, no, I met her at church, the moment where Hannah was like, hey, you're gonna meet your mentor. I was like, oh, okay. But it was really nice to meet Charlene, so. We met up, the very first time we met up, we went to a boba shop, if you know Taste Tea, that's the best way to get to know someone, just get boba with them. So yeah, after that first meeting, I already knew that I gave Charlene my heart. I already knew that I trusted her with all of my feelings, all my thoughts, and I wanted to get to know her. It was the mentor-mentee relationship. I wanted it to be bi-directional. Not only did I want her to help me in my faith, but I also wanted to be able to listen to her life and make sure that through her life experiences, I can grow in my faith and also help her as well.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think we met up around 7 times, and actually we went to like a different boba spot every time. So we're very familiar with like the boba spots near Homestead High School, Sayville area. But yeah, I think, yeah, during the time it was pretty casual. We would just chat, kind of talk about life, and there was a book we were going through together that was really focused on identity and belonging and purpose, and so we just used that time to kind of chat through like some of the things and reflections from the book.
So. So if you need boba recommendations, these two, they gotcha. What has been the best or most memorable part of the mentor-mentee experience?
Yeah, I'd say, like as Emmeline mentioned, we really did not know each other at all before, right? So like, it was like our first time meeting. And so I think for me, the most memorable part was just actually being able to get to know Emmeline and to kind of build that relationship and trust over the last handful of months. And it was kind of a fun process because as we would talk, we would just learn like, hey, we have a lot of things in common, which I don't, you know, I think that was just kind of a nice coincidence. But like, for example, we're both Enneagram 6s. And so during our first meeting, I remember as Emmeline was just talking and sharing, I'm like, huh, I wonder if she's like an Enneagram 6. Because like, that is like how I would think. And it turns out she was. And yeah, just little like moments like that throughout the last few months. And even in terms of like some of the high school extracurricular things like she did, that was things I did in high school. Like, we're both like key club officers back in the day. So it was just kind of fun to like kind of bond over that. Yeah, so I think that was definitely like a highlight. But I will say, I think the best highlight is probably yet to come. So spoiler alert, but Emmeline's getting baptized during the 11 o'clock service. So I'm like super excited for that. And I feel like that's definitely going to go down as like the most memorable like highlight, I think, for me.
The most memorable part? I would also say yes, finding out that like we had so many things in common. We were both 6 on the anagrams. We both love boba. We both love K-drama and K-pop, which we should probably not spend that much of our time on. But yeah, the most memorable part was really getting to know someone else in my life. I think all of my life, I've always shared everything about how I feel, how I experience with my mom. I would always go to her, hey, mom, can you pray to me? Or hey, mom, like, I'm feeling kind of sick today, or hey, mom, like, I would always tell my mom everything, but to have an adult in my life, to be able to, like, tell her everything on how I feel, my worries, my happiness, it meant a lot to me, especially as a 6, I'm very fearful, so to have that cornerstone, was really reassuring to me as a mentee.
Awesome. My last question for you is, where have you seen God in the mentor-mentee process?
Yeah, I would say, as I reflect back, I really think I've seen God like throughout the entire process. I think even just starting in like how we were paired, right? Like just as we were sharing, I feel like that was a very like divine opportunity and just how he placed us together. And then I would say really just even in seeing how much growth Emmeline has had in the last few months, like through this discipleship program. So I feel like it was really less about like what I could offer as a mentor, but really what God was already like doing in her life and just being like a sounding board for her and, you know, just being able to like process things with her or maybe ask probing questions or share nuggets of wisdom if I had any. And yeah, I think it was just really neat seeing just like her growth and just discovering new things, like new spiritual gifts she wasn't aware of before, or just how she was stepping out in faith to, you know, maybe do something outside her comfort zone, like sharing like at her school Christian club or sharing her faith with her friends, right? Or just how she was processing setbacks and challenges, right? I felt like God was really like in that whole process. And actually another highlight, I have to say, during one of our boba meetups, somewhere like in the middle, like one of our first few, I still remember like when I first got in there, she was already there. I sat down, like the first thing she said was like, guess what? Today I had a chance to share my faith with my friend at school. And it was like so random. It was just like this moment where someone just like came up to her and was like, hey, do you believe in God? And then she just like opened up a door. But I think just seeing like her pure joy and like excitement in that, I felt like brought me a lot of joy. And it was very like encouraging and inspiring even for me, like as her mentor. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm just really thankful for this process. I feel like God used it to really grow both of us, and we were able to, you know, chat through important things like identity and purpose, which very relevant to youth, but also very relevant for adults, things like that we're always going through, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen God through the whole experience. I always thank him for bringing Charlene to me, so thank you, Hannah, for giving me this chance as well, but yeah, I also agree. I think it was a very divine experience that God brought me and Charlene together. To be able to have that relationship with each other is really meaningful and can really bring out a lot of like growth in both of us. So I would say God has been able to lead me as a mentor to make sure that I am being honest with my feelings. I'm that it's okay to be vulnerable and to be able to let them know how I feel and what I think. And I would always be able to like ask my questions. I've always like wanted a person in my life where I could ask them questions about God, about Jesus, about just anything in life. So to be able to have that is truly amazing. And I've seen, I really have seen God work in my life and Charlene's life. It's really nice to see how our experiences may be also different, but also similar in many ways as God has brought us together.
Awesome. Thank you both. Can we give them another round of applause? So can I have Owen Lewis and Chris Smiley come to the stage? Yay! Welcome, welcome. Come sit over here. So this is Owen and Chris. And so the way that our mentoring process works is that Daniel and I brainstorm, big brain moment, try and figure out which students and adults in our community we think would get along well and have a fruitful time in this process. And when I heard that Owen was doing it, I was like, we gotta get Chris. It's time. It's his time to shine. So Chris said yes to the opportunity to be Owen's mentor, and so we're so grateful. And so we're going to do a little bit of a Q&A so that we get a little bit of the details on what this process was like, because you're like, wow, mentoring, that sounds great. I have no idea what that means, but don't worry. We're about to find out. So hello. Welcome. Don't be nervous, but maybe be nervous. Okay, my first question for you is, what did mentoring look like for you both? So like, how many times did you meet? What did you do when you met up? Give us a little snapshot into what that experience was like.
My name is Owen Lewis. I'm a sophomore at San Jose High School. And I think we met up around like a number.
Yeah. Well, the important detail is, as you know, this is life on life. We're doing life. And so, like, I was getting married, so I had a couple things on my mind, you know. And then Owen was busy winning robot tournaments. So we had a lot going on. Yeah.
So what did you do when you did meet up? What did that look like?
We went to Boba. We went out to eat. It was usually just, like, after Sunday service. And then we just talked, like he shared about his faith, and I really liked listening to the stories he had, with the experiences he had with God.
Yeah, what he said. We would have meals, we would talk, I'd ask him about his life, I'd share a little bit about mine, you know, as rapport developed and we grew in like, you know, comfort level with each other, you know, Owen would ask me questions, I'd know a little bit about more of his life, and it's just being normal friends, but, you know, a little bit like adult teenager friends. So, you know.
But it's just
it's just to make it normal, you know, just like normal community life, you know. This is how life is done. This is what faith like is like as an adult for me. I'm not your parent, so things are a little different. But I think that's kind of what the dealio is.
Awesome. What has been the best or most memorable part of the mentor-mentee experience?
I think I just liked hearing, like, the multiple times he told me about how he's seen God, or, like, other people he's known have just, like, really just talked to God, like, those deep experiences and just throughout everybody's lives.
So it's been encouraging to me, and I've shared this with Owen, just to kind of hear about the unique way that he connects with God, and then different ways that he feels like God's give him different gifts and strengths and things. And so just to kind of hear about, like, for example, if I can share, like, he feels like God is working on his discernment. And so for me, it's like, I see that as something that's really needed in our world, especially in the Bay Area, people who are good at discerning things. And so to have like younger generation to kind of carrying that torch a little bit has been very encouraging and hope giving to me. So just kind of like that. That's like, okay, cool. God's doing stuff. All the time, everywhere.
Awesome. My last question for you guys is, where have you seen God in the mentor mentee process?
I think I've seen it just like every time we meet, it's just like really nice to just talk and we just connect, and then he shares a little bit, and then sometimes he prays for me, and he can just see things, and it's really cool.
Last week at the baptism, I really felt like God showed up a little bit. Just felt like specially designed for Owen, especially, and having his family come and seeing, visiting, and meeting his grandparents was really cool. But also just kind of knowing that, like, some people, adults in his life, also prayed for me when I was younger, and just kind of see that process of, like, people praying for each other across the generations. It's like God's got a bigger picture, got a bigger thing going on, and participate in that is kind of cool.
That's so cool. Well, thank you guys for sharing a little bit of your experience together. Can we give them a round of applause? As we continue with our service, I don't want to talk at you the whole time. In fact, I want our students to be able to share with you their heart, things that they've been learning and experiencing over their lifetimes. And one of the things that we do in the cohort is we talk about our testimonies. We talk about not just our life stories, but where has God been active in our lives? Where have we seen God show up? Because guess what? High schoolers have so much to give us in terms of the richness that God is doing in their lives. And so we want to be able to share that with you today. So I would love to welcome up Samantha Ta as she is going to give her testimony this morning. Would you welcome her with us?
Hi, my name is Samantha Ta. I'm a sophomore at Del Mar High. And if for those of you who don't know me really well, I have four siblings who I care very much about. When I was younger, I was really close to my siblings. We used to play lots of games, and I cared for them because they were like adorable little people. In the last few years, I think mainly due to COVID and having to be stuck in the house all the time with my siblings, we would get into lots of arguments, and mainly with one of my siblings, I would nonstop argue with them every day. We would always be fighting about the smallest things ever, and I would always be annoyed at my sibling for every little thing they did, and wasn't really kind when I told them to stop being annoying. And even if it wasn't my fight, and my sibling was fighting with someone else, I would always butt into the argument because I wanted to be right, and I wanted to win the argument. Last summer, I went to this conference, and we learned about many things such as worship and reading the Bible. And one of the topics that stuck out to me was how to pray. At the conference, the speaker talked about how prayer is like having a conversation with God. We can talk to God as a friend. We can talk to him about our day, about our burdens, about our joys, and about our sorrows, about anything. I also learned that we shouldn't be afraid to ask him for help. Even though God already knows that we need him, he still wants to hear from us. Otherwise, it'll be like a one-sided conversation where we only go to God when we need him. During this teaching, I realized that my relationship with God was one-sided, that God was always there for me whenever I needed him, but I would only go to him or talk to him if it was like a meal prayer. And I wanted to change this. When teaching a prayer, something that stuck out to me was that the speaker shared the Lord's Prayer with us. I always thought about this prayer as a bunch of fancy words and nothing really important. But the speaker explained to us that Jesus gave this prayer to his disciples, to all of us, as a way to pray to God, like a template. Each section of the Lord's Prayer is like a different way to pray to God. The first section, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, is a praise to God. We can praise God for all the wonderful things he's done in our lives. We can give thanks to him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray this, we acknowledge that God has great plans for us and we should trust him with our lives. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In this section, the speaker shared that it is all right to, and it is good to confess your sins to God. God won't be angry at us, and instead he forgives us. But God doesn't just want us to pile all our sins and throw them at him. Instead, he wants us to give each confession one at a time. And no matter how many sins we have, God will always forgive us. And just like God forgives us, we should forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This section is praying for God's help, asking the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us to do the right things. The devil can't hear our thoughts and doesn't like it when we pray to God, because our relationship with him grows when we do. So just by asking God for help, we'll scare the devil away. At the conference, I received this notebook and I decided I wanted to start praying more and to build my relationship with God. So I started writing prayers in this notebook, and I based it off the structure of the Lord's Prayer. I gave thanks to God. I asked him to help me through each day. I prayed for my friends. I confessed my sins and prayed for God's forgiveness. Most importantly, I prayed that God would mend my relationship with my sibling. I prayed for patience with my sibling. I prayed to God to make me a kinder person. I prayed that I wouldn't argue so much with my sibling, because I love them, and if all I did was argue with them all day, they wouldn't want to be around me. And who wants to be around an angry person? Now today, when I look back, I can see how much God has changed my life. Because of God, I am much more patient with my sibling. I don't argue with them every day anymore. And if it's not my argument, I've learned not to step in, because it'll only escalate things. Of course, I'm not perfect, and we still get into arguments every so often, but I've learned to love my sibling more like how God loves us. God hears our prayers and will always help us. I am so thankful that I can always talk to God about anything I need. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jack Bauer. I'm a junior in high school at Valley Christian. When I chose to give this testimony as a culmination of my experience in the discipleship cohort, I pretty quickly knew what experience I wanted to talk about as an example of my faith story. And so I've kind of centered my entire testimony around this subject, that being music. Music has been a big part of my life for about as long as I can remember. If any of you know my dad, Michael Bauer, who's sitting in the front row, with a tripod, which is a little intimidating, but if you know him, you probably know that one of his biggest hobbies is collecting vinyl records. And so you'd probably assume growing up in the same household as a 70s prog rock fanatic would have exposed me to a pretty diverse and out there range of music at a young age. Music that has stuck with me to this day. I also played the piano for many years and have participated in dozens of musical productions since around the first grade, where I've gotten to experience and interact with music in many different ways, from singing to dancing to playing. But I'd say the area that music has impacted me the most in my life is simply in listening. Music helps me when I feel anxious or sad or frustrated. I have songs that I listen to when I'm in certain moods to make me feel certain ways. The lyrics and melodies of many songs can both help me process my emotions during difficult times, but also just help me relax and take my mind off things. But while I find music is always there for me when I need it the most, the same doesn't always go for God. As a junior in high school living in the 21st century, stress and anxiety are more prevalent now than ever. School only gets harder and more competitive with every year, and in all the busyness and the noise, I often find it hard to hear God through it all. There was one night specifically, a few months ago, when it all just became too much. I felt like God wasn't there for me, that he had essentially left me to fend for myself, not just in relation to school or my workload, but emotionally and spiritually. In this moment of overwhelming anxiety and sadness, when I felt like God couldn't be further away, I decided to turn to the thing that always helped me, music. Particularly, I decided to put on an album I had yet to listen to, but had piqued my interest for some time, that being What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. While I was familiar with the very famous title track, I wasn't familiar with any of the other songs on the project. So there I was, lying in bed, staring at the ceiling, trying to clear my mind of all the stress while blindly listening to this random album from the 70s that I barely know anything about, when I found myself shocked by the utter beauty and warmth of the sound. I kept listening, absorbing the lyrics and messages of the songs when I got to track 5. Keep in mind, I had no idea of any of the songs on this album, not even their titles or what they were about. So you can imagine my surprise when I heard the following lyrics. Don't go and talk about my father. God is my friend. He made this world for us to live in and gave us everything. And all he asks of us is that we give each other love. Now, this may seem a little blasphemous to say, considering I'm on the worship team, but to be entirely honest, I've never been the biggest fan of worship music. While I enjoy the sounds of the instruments and the overall atmosphere that Christian songs can create, I've never felt especially touched by any particular lyric or message. But in that moment, when I heard this song, I had never felt like God had so blatantly spoken directly into my life, that through an album recorded over 50 years ago with absolutely no correlation to me or my life, through an album I had decided to listen to by pure coincidence, God could speak such words to me at the time I needed them the most. Don't go and talk about my father. God is my friend. Since then, I feel the reality of Jesus more strongly than I ever have before. I know he is real, and I know he cares for me, because I have seen him, or in this case heard him, speak into my life. This experience reminded me that God works in strange ways and won't always appear in the way you want or the way you expect. Instead, he works through the subtleties and the coincidences. He hears us and knows our pain and will always do what is best for us, even if we aren't able to see it. God is not a God of the obvious, but a God of the details and of the hidden beauties, beauties that we may not recognize at first glance, but make sense with time and reflection. Now, as silly as it may seem, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye is my go-to album to listen to when I feel discouraged or stressed or overwhelmed by the pressures of life, because I know that every time I return, I will be reminded, God is my friend. Thank you.
You welcome up Emmalyn Fong.
Hello. Never used a mic before. Actually, I have once. So hello, everyone. My name is Emmalyn Fong, and I am a current sophomore at Homestead High School. And here is my testimony. So I grew up in a Christian family. My mom, dad, and 2 older brothers are all believers, and I've always gone to church. I've always been part of the River Church since I was born. I know this building almost like the back of my hand. I know what cabinets they used to hide all the best snacks and apple cider in. It's the top corner in the kitchen. I don't know if they got rid of it. So I'm too embarrassed to like take it from them anymore. So I confess, I took at least 20 in my lifetime. So yeah, I also know the best hiding spots to win a game of hide and seek. I remember every detail of what the youth room used to look like before it was remodeled. And I've watched both of my brothers and countless other kids grow up in the church, learn about Jesus, get baptized, and offer their lives to God. For as long as I remember, the church has always been part of my life, but God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit wasn't part of it until later. I think there are 3 factors in my life that are really weighing me down: procrastination, the absence of passion, and fear. I think a lot of people here can probably relate to me, as these are some very human qualities everyone has experienced before. In Spanish class, we learned how to introduce some characteristics of ourselves. I would respond with, yo soy artística, perezosa, y desordenada. If you don't know Spanish, I basically said I'm artistic, lazy, and disorganized. Now, I say this as a joke, but those qualities do explain how I live my life. Growing up, I've been put into many different activities and extracurriculars. I did art, ballet, ice skating, Chinese school, piano, flute, and a lot more. But I couldn't find any sense of passion or motivation for any of these hobbies. Take piano, for example. My family knows this. I've been playing piano for 12 years, and it's taken me years to finally enjoy it. Sure, I was talented at a lot of things, but none of them gave me a sense of motivation or meaning. I've always felt an absence of passion. And for procrastination, it's like I'm addicted to it. I have all these activities, duties, and responsibilities I need to do, but I simply just don't want to do it. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I don't find any meaning for me to do it. I think my procrastination and lack of passion is connected this way. I procrastinate because I have nothing better to do. I would rather sit on my bed scrolling YouTube and Instagram videos nonstop instead of pursuing goals and focusing on the people around me. My procrastination and lack of absence also lead me into forgetting about God and putting other things above him. And finally, the last factor that impacts my life greatly is fear. If you know anything about the Enneagram, it's a personality-based model, and I am a 6 on the Enneagram. Basically, 6s are loyal, energetic, fun, and honest when they are at their best. At the worst, they are fearful, anxious, indecisive, and become overly dependent. Around other people, I'm extroverted and personable, but inside, I wrestle with a lot of fear. Whether it's the fear of the future, not knowing what I want to do or become when I grow up, the fear of contracting a disease or sickness, the fear of fear itself, and even the fear of submitting my life to Christ. The time period where I realized I truly needed Jesus in my life was during the pandemic. The pandemic for a lot of us was a stressful and scary time. During the pandemic, I couldn't contact my friends as much or hang out with them, making me feel lonely and isolated. I had to stay at home with all my family members, which, yes, drove me a bit crazy. But you would also be crazy if some brothers came into your room every single day to punch your stuffed animals, okay? But what was really impacting me during the pandemic was my fear. It was during the pandemic where I started getting panic attacks, feeling overwhelmed and hopeless. My fear wasn't just a mental thing, but it was also a physical thing as well. I remember that whenever I get really anxious or scared, I get hot all over. My head starts spinning, thinking so fast I can't hear myself. My head and body grow so hot all over. I feel like I'm burning from the inside, and most of all, I feel lonely and hopeless. It's a really terrible feeling. And to be a child or even adult lost in this terrifying world, a world that makes it easy to turn away from God, it's terrible and it's horrifying. I needed someone to help me to take me out of my hole. It was during the time where I was at my lowest and my worst where God's power was the strongest. Whenever I got scared, I would run to my mom asking if she could hold my hand and pray for me. Whenever I heard my mom pray for me, I would always feel this sense of relief, peace, and hope. I could finally relax and calm down and speak a sense of logic and clarity to my exaggerated fears. Whenever I prayed to God when I was scared, he would bring me rest, and that was when I could feel his presence. And I knew he was always watching over me and listening to me. God stepped into my life when I needed him the most. To this day, I always pray to God, thanking him for putting me into a Christian family. I know the simple truth that if I was not a Christian, I didn't have the opportunity to know God, I would truly be so much more scared and lost and alone than I ever was. If there wasn't a God out there to hear my cries of help, answer my question of doubts, and forgive me when I've done wrong, if he wasn't there, I would be hopeless and dead. It was during the pandemic where I understood I would be nothing if Jesus wasn't here for me. Now, over the years, I can see how clearly God has worked in my life. He has given me a wonderful, supporting family that I love with all my heart. He has given me a group of friends, Christians and non-Christians, who I know I can always rely on. He has given me opportunities to join activities and clubs that I truly enjoy, such as Geek Club, a community service club, and Footprints, my school's Christian club. God gave me passion in the form of loved ones and through the opportunities to love others. For my procrastination, although not completely gone, God has given me strength to stop my temptation to go to my phone and instead focus on him and other priorities. And for my fears, God has given me the wonderful promise that I am saved and that I am his child and that he will never forsake me. He puts an end to my irrational fears and instead provides me with peace and hope. I know that without him, I would be nothing. He makes up a whole part of my identity. When my brothers and I were born, my mom gave us each Chinese names, typical of a Chinese mother. So my oldest brother, Christopher, was named Fang Yiping, and Fang is our last name, Fang, and Yiping, which means persevering peace. My second brother, Nicholas, was given the name Fang Yihuan, persevering joy. My mom named me Fang Xiaowang, which means morning hope. I like to think that this isn't a coincidence, the fact that God gave me peace, joy, and hope in my life every single day. That I was given the name Morning Hope, and I love my name so much. With each and every morning, every sunrise, there's hope. God has given me persevering peace, persevering joy, and morning hope in my life. On the days where it's really hard, I would pray to God saying, please, 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 God, whatever happens in my life, whatever love, peace, joy, opportunities, people, and things that I lose, may I never lose my hope that you've given me. May I never lose my hope and faith in you. Now I know it's my goal and my calling to be the morning hope of others' lives. I want other people around me to feel that same morning hope Jesus brought into my life, that they too could be saved and can be known by a God who loves them so much. He died on the cross so we could live eternally with him. I hope that my story can change people's hearts. Even if it's just one person, that would be perfectly enough because it means there is one more soul brought to heaven, one more soul being embraced by their loving Father. And to close, if you've ever received a letter or card from me, I most likely ended it with a certain phrase. I don't know when or how I started to end my cards with this sentence, but I've known I've done it for a long time. And they are words I want to leave the person I'm writing to with. After writing my heart out to the person, I would end it with, have hope, peace, joy, and love in your wonderful heart. And I hope that today you all have these beautiful qualities in your heart and that you would never lose Jesus, your morning hope. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sam. Most of you probably don't know me. I'm currently a freshman in Saratoga High School, and I'm really excited to share my testimony with you guys, because it's kind of funny, spoiler alert, so I hope you guys laugh when I make a certain joke so I feel more confident about myself. Yeah? Thank you. Let's start. So I'm going to talk about my seventh grade experience, because seventh grade was my best year of my middle school because of these three reasons. One, I was the most extroverted. Not like right now. I'm like very introverted. I'm like shaking right now. And two, I was not buried under like heavy high school classwork. I enjoyed my seventh grade years where I had no homework or classwork. Third, I had the best friends ever, which still stands true. But one flaw was that I didn't really believe in God. I didn't know what to like get of like a God who created a world in 7 days. Because to the seventh grade me, that was just absurd. But anyways, I was living that chill life, hanging out with my friends every day, not having to worry about anything, and making even more friends. But in my 15 long years, I learned that there's always challenge that comes along. So my seventh year in school was ending, and the exam of summer vacation was building up among my friends. We're talking about staying at someone's house for 1 week straight and never leaving, playing video games all night, and never sleeping, which my mother would never allow. Anyway, you get the point. Our exam was building up, that summer vacation, our school finally ended. But the thing is, that excitement popped easily as a balloon being popped by a needle. And that needle was called, we might have to move. Yeah, ooh. Like, bam, that came out of nowhere. It was like, oh, summer vacation. Now it's like, oh, we might go to Seattle. My first thought was like, ooh, Seattle. Exciting. But then the second thought came into mind. What about my friends? Remember my three reasons why my seventh grade year was the best one? It was because of my elementary school friends that have been my best friends for 6 or 7 years. And these are the friends that I know for sure will graduate with me or fail high school and become a super senior. Even if they graduate, I know they will stay in contact with me. Like, I will share everything about them. I can, like, have fun with them, you know? But however, this thought of having to move to Seattle kind of freaked me out because it also meant starting over without no friend, with no friends in a new environment. And it just really freaked me out because I was thinking of this like the smallest, tiniest thing that could go wrong. Like, for example, I'm a Korean, and this like happened to me every single time. So I go to a guy, I'm like, hey. And he goes like, hey, where are you from? I say, Korea. And every single time, 99 out of 100 says, oh, North or South. And I go, oh. Now these guys, I just say North to make them fun, like laugh. But you get the point. Like that constant thinking of what could go wrong, that process that I have to repeat to make my new best friend group, like just freaked me out. And my seventh grade old me had nowhere to, like, had nothing to lose. And he started relying on God, which he really didn't believe. I still remember praying to God. Oh, wait, before that, the prayers I only did back then were, like, daily meal prayers, which were, like, really short. It was, like, God, thank you for the food, amen, and dig in. But that day, it was really different. It was more of, please, God, I don't want to move. I want to stay with my friends. Please make a house pop up in my district. And I used, like, a lifetime, like, supply of please during those prayers, because that lasted for 5 minutes. But a couple of days passed by. I was still praying every single day. And I'm guessing those pleas worked as like an express mail to God right away, an express mail right back, because a house popped up in my district just in a couple of weeks. Because God replied, like, boom, just replied. And luckily we got the house, and now I'm happily going to my new high school with the same group of friends that I will enjoy like my rest of my life with. Hopefully. But I'm pretty sure my seventh grade thought, like my seventh grade me, thought that it was probably all a coincidence, you know? That somehow that praying did not connect to me going to this high school, getting that house. But looking back, I know for sure it was Jesus who listened to my prayers. Honestly, like right now, I do believe in God and Jesus, but I don't pray every single day like I did in seventh grade. But however, through discipleship cohort, I learned that praying to God is a way of leaning on Him, depending on Him. I learned that every single time I need something, I could ask God. Whenever I'm in trouble, I could tell God. And whenever I want to thank for something, I could thank God. Like, I might pray, it might be as serious as, God, please ease my anxiety during my test, or such as when I'm talking about testimony on this big stage. Or as dumb as, God, please help, give me strength to win my friend in a push-up contest. He might not answer right away. But it feels good to have someone to rely on. Because God is like a parent, you know? Someone that you could tell everyone, sorry parents, like my mom and dad's right there, you guys are still the best. But I wish like everyone knows that God is always listening. He might not answer, but He's always listening to the most serious situation or the dumbest situation. Well, that's my testimony. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed my testimony.